So imagine you've spent years building, like, the ultimate magic trick.
Yeah. Right?
You construct this magnificent gleaming machine, and you tell the world, you know, step right up, push this button, and whatever you can possibly imagine will instantly appear before your very eyes.
Right. The ultimate promise.
Exactly. So the crowd gathers, right? Mm. The anticipation is just palpable. You push the button, the machine hums to life, and instead of pulling a beautiful digital rabbit out of a hat, the machine suddenly spits out a massive stack of federal lawsuits, an eviction notice, and a subpoena.
Yeah, and then the machine just violently unplugs itself, leaving everyone standing in the dark.
Exactly. And, I mean, that is basically the bombshell news that just hit Silicon Valley last night.
Yeah.
The sudden, truly shocking death of OpenAI's revolutionary video generation tool, Sora.
Yeah.
And right alongside it, the simultaneous walkout of their key strategic partner, Disney.
Which is huge. I mean, we are looking at the overnight archiving of a multi-billion-dollar project that was, you know, supposed to completely rewrite the rules of entertainment and reality generation.
Yeah, which brings us to our mission for today's deep dive. We're dedicating our time together to unpacking this brilliant 2,500-word autopsy report published by Tekin Game.
It's a fantastic piece.
It really is. And we want to look way beyond the sensational headlines you're all seeing on your feeds today. We really want to understand the underlying technical, legal, and political mechanics that caused a project with this much momentum to just, bam, hit a brick wall.
Right, because this requires looking past the typical tech industry gossip. We have to actually analyze the structural flaws in the business model itself.
Definitely. And we also need to establish the stakes here, because this matters directly to you listening. This isn't just a Silicon Valley story. It's a story about the future of the media you consume on a daily basis.
Absolutely.
It's about the very reality of what you see when you scroll through your phone, and it reveals these massive unseen physical limits of artificial intelligence that nobody in Silicon Valley actually wanted to talk about out loud.
No, they really didn't.
Okay, let's unpack this. And let's start with the immediate trigger for this whole collapse, right? The Disney divorce.
Yeah. So to grasp the magnitude of Disney unilaterally canceling its contracts with OpenAI, we need to look at Disney's initial objective here.
Right.
When this partnership started late last year, Disney was not looking to make consumer toys. They wanted an enterprise-grade in-house tool to drastically reduce the astronomical rendering costs for their Pixar and Marvel studios.
Because rendering is insanely expensive.
Exactly. So they envisioned Sora generating foundational visual environments, like the backgrounds, the complex crowd scenes, the atmospheric effects.
So they basically wanted a super-powered assistant for their most expensive production pipelines.
Exactly.
So they get access to the tool, and they set up this internal test. The Tekin Game report describes this moment vividly. Pixar's senior animators sit down, and they start running prompt engineering tests on Sora to just, you know, see what it can really do.
Right.
And I assume they were expecting to see generic, highly polished video. Maybe. Like a generic cartoon street or a generic superhero explosion.
Well, the output was anything but generic.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the neural network didn't just learn the broad concept of 3D animation. It had mathematically mapped the exact rendering algorithms that Pixar spent decades building.
Wow.
So when the animators typed in their prompts, Sora was spitting out the exact subsurface light scattering used on the ice in Frozen.
Are you serious? The exact same physics.
The exact same. It was generating the precise framing techniques and focal lengths used in Marvel movies. I mean, it was recreating character physics that were mathematically identical to Toy Story.
Man, so it had basically internalized their proprietary aesthetic. Like, it knew their own movies entirely too well.
Which brings us to the core legal vulnerability here. I mean, Disney's entire corporate philosophy is built on the rigorous protection of its intellectual property.
Right. Don't mess with the mouse.
Exactly. The Tekin Game article points out the Mickey Mouse Protection Act as historical proof of how far they will go to protect a copyright. So when Disney's legal team reviewed the math behind those Sora outputs, they concluded that Sora's training data was an infected black box.
An infected black box.
So if I'm understanding this legally, the issue isn't just that the AI watched the movies to learn, right?
Right.
It's that the mathematical weights of the model are fundamentally built on millions of frames of copyrighted Disney films without a single legal license. So the IP is literally baked into the code itself.
Exactly. The model doesn't store the video files, but it stores the proprietary aesthetic logic. It learned Pixar-specific light rendering physics by ingesting their copyrighted pixels.
Right.
So if Disney were to officially adopt Sora into their studio pipeline, they would essentially be legally validating a tool built on the unlicensed scraping of their own art. Wow. It's like hiring a brilliant new chef to invent a menu for your 5-star restaurant, only to realize he's just breaking into the restaurant next door every night, stealing their proprietary spice blends, and then serving them up as his own.
That's a perfect analogy.
You cannot put your name on that menu without becoming legally liable for the break-in.
Right. You become legally complicit. And for Disney, complicity meant opening themselves up to massive class action lawsuits from independent artists, from writers, and from rival studios whose work was also in that black box. I mean, the damages in a scenario like that could easily run into the tens of billions of dollars.
Which would be an extinction level event for their stock value.
Absolutely.
I actually want to read the exact quote from the elite Disney risk assessment manager because it really highlights the severity of this realization.
Go for it.
They wrote, quote, "We cannot put a platform in the heart of our studio pipeline whose cash is coded entirely on the copyright infringement of our own and others' works. The legal risk of this unethical monster is far greater than its technical value." Unquote.
Yeah. Calling a vendor's software an unethical monster in a formal risk assessment is just unprecedented.
It's brutal.
It is. And that language explains the immediate ripple effect. Because the second Disney formally exited the partnership, it sent a shockwave across Hollywood. Warner Bros. And Universal immediately suspended their own parallel contract.
Naturally. Nobody wanted to be left holding the bag when those multi-billion dollar class action lawsuits finally dropped.
Right.
But the legal foundation was essentially made of quicksand. But the Tekken game autopsy points out a fascinating structural flaw that goes beyond just the law.
Yeah, the economics.
Right. Even if OpenAI could somehow magically wave a wand, settle every copyright lawsuit, and perfectly appease all the studios, the project was still totally doomed. Because the raw physics and the economics of running this machine were quietly bankrupting them behind the scenes.
Yeah, this is the physical reality check that often gets completely obscured by all the AI hype.
Okay, but I have to push back here for a second. On behalf of anyone listening who uses AI right now.
Sure.
I mean, I can generate infinite text with ChatGPT for $20 a month, right? I can ask it to write me a complex 1,000-word essay, and it spits it out in 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So why is video suddenly breaking the bank? What makes video so uniquely impossible to sustain economically?
Well, the answer lies in a massive architectural difference in how these AI models actually function.
Okay.
When you ask ChatGPT for text, it uses a large language model. It is highly optimized to basically just predict the next logical word in a sequence. It's computationally very lightweight. Sora, however, uses a diffusion transformer architecture, which relies on something called spatiotemporal latent patches.
Whoa, okay. Let's break down how a spatiotemporal latent patch actually works, because that sounds like pure science fiction.
It does, right. So we can think of text generation like a novelist writing a book one word at a time.
Got it.
Video generation is more like an architect trying to build a fully functioning living city inside a computer. Sora starts with pure visual static-like noise on an old television.
Okay.
Over time, it has to mathematically organize that static into 3D pixels. But spatiotemporal means space and time. It's not just generating one flat image.
Wait, it's moving.
Exactly. It has to calculate how a beam of light bounces off a glass on a table in frame one, and then ensure that the exact same light and physics apply perfectly in frame 60 as the camera physically moves around the objects through time.
Oh, man. So it has to hold the entire physical reality of a scene and its memory simultaneously, just ensuring the physics don't break from millisecond to millisecond.
Yeah.
The computing power required to do that isn't just a step up from guessing the next word in a sentence.
Mm-hmm.
It is an entirely different universe of mathematics.
It really is. And the Tekken game source provides the raw math on this, and it is just staggering. Generating just 60 seconds of 1080p, 60 frames per second cinematic video cost OpenAI between $350 and $500 in pure cloud processing fees.
Wait. Between $350 and $500 to render one single minute of video.
Just 1 minute. Because maintaining those spatiotemporal physics requires massive clusters of NVIDIA H100 chips. And those are chips that cost $100,000 each.
Jeez.
And they have to run at absolute maximum frequency without stopping for hours at a time just to render a handful of seconds.
Okay, so if they wanted to scale this to a consumer level, say just 1 million daily users, which is a tiny fraction of ChatGPT's user base, mm-hmm. the hardware bottlenecks become physically impossible to overcome.
It's completely impossible.
The reports, they would need to instantly acquire 50,000 to 80,000 new NVIDIA H200 chips.
Yeah.
And you literally cannot buy them.
No, the supply chain queues at TSMC in Taiwan are backed up for years. You can't just wish that much raw silicon into existence.
Right.
And even in a hypothetical scenario where they magically acquired the chips, they run into the environmental clash.
Power grid.
Exactly. These massive GPU clusters require an unbelievable amount of electricity, and they rely on intensive liquid cooling systems just to keep the servers from literally melting down.
Mm.
OpenAI's data centers were drawing so much power that they were competing with entire cities for baseload electricity.
Wow.
They were pushing right up against the physical limits of the U.S. federal power grid.
Which instantly puts them in the crosshairs of ESG, environmental, social, and governance laws. I mean, you can't really justify browning out a suburb just so someone can generate a fake video of a cat flying a spaceship.
No, you can't. And what's fascinating here is a recent report from Morgan Stanley that the Tech and Game article cites to put this all in perspective. OpenAI was bleeding roughly $10 to $15 million a day in hardware subsidies just to keep the platform running for their early testers.
$10 to $15 million a day.
A day? They were eating the true cost of the compute just to show the technology off to the world. And, you know, the brutal law of Silicon Valley is that a project that cannot scale commercially without bankrupting the company is doomed, no matter how much of a technological marvel it actually is.
Right. And the causal link here is critical. To offset a $15 million daily burn rate, OpenAI had no choice but to push aggressively for massive B2B, business-to-business, enterprise contracts.
Right, they needed the big players.
Yeah, they needed studios like Disney to pay millions of dollars to use the tool. But the moment they aggressively courted Hollywood, they triggered an entirely new crisis, right? The human labor force.
Exactly. We have to view this through the lens of recent labor history. Just look back at the crippling SAG-AFTRA and WGA strikes that completely paralyzed the entertainment industry for months.
Yeah.
One of the absolute non-negotiable red lines for the actors and the writers was establishing strict guardrails to prevent AI from replacing human workers.
And the studios barely survived those strikes.
Right.
And then Sora arrives, and it doesn't just make crude, glitchy, experimental animations anymore. The Tech and Game report details how Thor had developed this terrifying ability to flawlessly simulate human facial physics.
Yes.
It wasn't just generating a face. It was generating subsurface scattering on the skin, micro-expressions in the eyes, the subtle flexing of jaw muscles.
And the visual effects community realized immediately what this meant. A VFX house spends decades building proprietary software, training artists, and spending millions of dollars to figure out how to perfectly light and animate a digital character.
Right.
Suddenly, a single text prompt typed by a studio executive could theoretically replace weeks of highly specialized labor. The technology threatened to reduce the market value of these companies to zero overnight.
So the threat was purely existential, and the response was highly coordinated. The International Cinematographers Unions, along with the VFX guilds, issued an unprecedented ultimatum.
Yeah, they did not hold back.
No, they threatened total paralysis of the industry, an absolute boycott, and endless strikes if Sora was ever integrated into commercial studio pipelines. They basically told the studio executives that bringing this tool into the ecosystem would mean war.
And the studio executives, who, let's remember, were already exhausted and financially depleted from the previous strikes, they relayed that message straight back to OpenAI.
Yeah.
Forcing this technology into the market would make OpenAI the target of global artistic rage and coordinated labor blockades.
Which leads directly to Sam Altman's strategic retreat, because he was already fighting a massive, grueling copyright war with the New York Times and various author guilds over the text-based model.
He had his hands full.
Exactly. So he realized that opening a second front against the combined, mobilized power of the Hollywood labor cartels would just be a fatal mistake.
The realization was stark. I mean, the enterprise rut was blocked by labor unions. The consumer rut was blocked by astronomical compute costs and silicon shortages. Yeah. They were completely boxed in.
Trapped. Facing billions in potential IP lawsuits, daily bankruptcy from server costs, and the threat of global labor strikes, OpenAI was out of options.
Yeah.
But the final fatal blow, the actual mechanism that forced the plug to be pulled overnight, came from the federal government.
Yeah.
And it was based on what the technology was actively becoming capable of doing. Mm. Here's where it gets really interesting.
It really does. The narrative shifts here from a business model failure to a genuine geopolitical crisis.
Right.
The Tekken game autopsy carefully lays out the context. We are entering the 2026 election year. Not just in the U.S., but in major democratic nations all over the world, the political climate is incredibly volatile, and the sheer technological power of Sora V2 crossed a definitive line.
How so?
It reached a level of photorealism that elevated deepfakes from a digital nuisance into an urgent national security crisis.
And the source mentions that the model actually bypassed traditional detection algorithms.
Mm.
How exactly did it fool the experts? Because usually deepfakes have that slight uncanny valley effect, right?
Yeah.
Like the blinking is wrong or the background blurs weirdly.
Well, Sora V2 mastered the physical imperfections of reality.
Interesting.
Yeah, it learned to perfectly simulate film grain, natural camera sensor noise, erratic lighting changes, and perfectly audio syncing micro muscle movements around the mouth.
Oh, wow.
Traditional digital forensics algorithms look for those specific errors, like the lack of sensor noise or lighting that doesn't match the environment. But because Sora V2 simulated those imperfections flawlessly, it fooled human forensics experts and algorithms for days at a time.
That's terrifying. Think about the timeline of modern information. A flawless 10-second video of a violent political rally, or a false confession from a world leader, or fake military movements dropped onto social media, they can tank the global stock market in an hour.
Easily.
It can incite a riot in a day. The fact that it might be debunked 3 days later by a team of analysts doesn't even matter. The damage is already done.
And OpenAI was acutely aware of this. The source includes a highly classified, leaked memo from OpenAI's own super alignment team.
Right, that's the specialized division tasked with ensuring the AI doesn't harm humanity.
That's exactly.
The language in this memo is chilling. Quote, "We were working on technology that could shatter the structure of truth in democratic societies. Our invisible watermarks were broken in less than 12 hours by state-sponsored hackers. Our system had become an uncontrollable Frankenstein." Unquote.
Let's focus on those watermarks for a second. OpenAI tried to embed invisible cryptographic signatures into the pixel data to prove the videos were AI generated.
Okay, so like a hidden tag.
Right. But state-sponsored hackers didn't just blur the videos to hide the marks. They actually used secondary neural networks to mathematically strip the signatures out of the code entirely.
Wow.
Yeah. When your own safety team calls your product an uncontrollable Frankenstein because the guardrails are failing in real time, you have literally lost control of the technology.
And the federal government was watching all of this happen. Behind the scenes, officials from the NSA, members of Congress, and top federal leaders hauled OpenAI leadership into closed-door meetings. And the source implies these were not polite requests for cooperation. They threatened massive, severe executive orders. They threatened to suspend OpenAI's other highly profitable commercial projects like ChatGPT.
The federal mandate was crystal clear. If you release this and it accelerates the collapse of objective truth during a global election cycle, we are holding you corporately and personally responsible.
Man.
That specific fear, the liability of destroying the digital trust ecosystem, that was the ultimate kill switch.
So the dream of the everything simulator is officially dead. The multi-billion dollar machine has been unplugged. But, you know, where does that leave you, the listener? What does this mean for the AI tools you'll actually be using tomorrow? And what happens to the rest of the industry that is still very much alive?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, what we are witnessing is a massive paradigm shift in artificial intelligence. The Silicon Valley dream of building a universal world simulator, like a single monolithic AI that can generate any reality from a single prompt, is over.
Right.
What is replacing it is the era of specialized control tools.
Because nature abhors a vacuum, right? With OpenAI stepping out of the video arena, other companies are rushing in, but they're playing a fundamentally different game. Let's look at the survivors, starting with Runway ML and their Gen 3 model.
Right. So Runway is taking a highly pragmatic approach. Instead of trying to replace the filmmaker with an all-in-one generation trap, they are focusing on collaboration.
Oh.
They are pushing a feature called Director Mode. It's designed to fit seamlessly into existing non-linear editing timelines, allowing humans to guide the AI rather than letting the AI just hallucinate an entire scene from scratch. They're keeping the human in the loop specifically to appease the labor unions.
That makes total sense. Then you have Midjourney v. Video. Midjourney has always been incredibly cautious about copyright and censorship, so they're positioning themselves as the safe, artistic alternative.
Yes, and they are deliberately avoiding photorealism.
Oh, smart.
By focusing heavily on highly stylized, animated aesthetics, they entirely dodge the national security red lines associated with deepfakes.
Right, you can't incite a riot with a watercolor painting.
Exactly. And finally, you have Google with Lumiere. Now, Google has virtually unlimited compute power with their TPU server farms, but they are playing it incredibly safe.
How so?
Well, the industry expectation is that Google will heavily restrict Lumiere. You won't see it as an open playground where you can just type anything you want. You will likely only see it as a premium editing feature walled off inside Enterprise Tools or YouTube Premium, explicitly hard-coded to reject any prompts that attempt deepfake generation.
Got it. And the reason you should care about this shift is that the AI tools you'll be interacting with going forward won't be these wild, untamed engines of unlimited creation. They are going to be highly guarded, highly specialized assistants.
Yes.
They're being designed from the ground up to color strictly inside the lines of 20th century copyright laws and 21st century national security protocols.
The Wild West of AI video generation is officially over. We are firmly entering the era of regulation, restriction, and hyper-specialization.
So what does this all mean? When we look back at the Tekken game autopsy, the final verdict is remarkably clear. Sora did not die because the artificial intelligence failed.
No, not at all.
The code worked. The neural networks were spectacular. Sora died because the utopian, limitless dreams of Silicon Valley collided at full speed with human reality.
Yeah.
It collided with what the article calls quantum economics, the brutal, unyielding physical and mathematical limits of computing at a massive scale. It crashed into the immovable wall of IP law, and it triggered the deep existential paranoia of national security.
Throwing a world-building technology into a society that fundamentally is not structured to handle it isn't an act of bravery or innovation. As the autopsy notes, it's just commercial suicide. You cannot ignore the ecosystem your technology has to live inside.
Exactly. Which leaves us with one final provocative thought for you to mull over. We just watched the ultimate AI video generator get killed, not by a lack of technological capability, but by human systems, by laws, by economics, and by fear. If that is the new reality of the tech industry, does that mean the future of human innovation will no longer be determined by who writes the best code in a lab, but rather by who has the best lawyers and the most powerful lobbyists in Washington?
It really entirely redefines what it means to be a tech visionary today. The code is only half the battle.
Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how incredible your magic machine is, you know, if the second you plug it in, the world decides it has no choice but to rip the cord right out of the wall.